God has watched over us, protected us, given us the presence of mind to assemble here this evening that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want to share a few points with you regarding the Lord's Church, and the lesson will be yours. The book is Ephesians. The book is Ephesians. Chapter 1 and 2. Chapters 1 and 2. Just a few verses in chapter 1. Few verses in chapter 2, and that will be it. Chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Chapter 2. And you have He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our time there, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and has by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. For it is what? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man or any person or any individual should boast. Children of the Lord. Children of the Lord. A Gentile congregation that the Apostle Paul is writing. And notice he starts off in chapter 2, tells you about all the gloriousness of the Lord's church and how He has chosen us. Chapter 2. And you have He quickened, you have He made alive, because you were dead in your sins. Dead in your sins, lived a life that was contrary to the will of God, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You followed the guidelines and the examples that those who were not saved, he followed their example, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our time. We all were not holy, righteous, and upright all of our life. And times passed in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Were by nature the children of wrath, anger, even as the crowd was, or others. But God, who is rich in mercy, blessed us to hear his word, believe his word, receive it, acknowledge it, baptize into Christ Jesus. We obeyed it. We used to walk with the world, but now that we've heard about this great gospel, we've changed the course of our lives by obeying it. He's writing, this is the Apostle Paul writing to a Gentile congregation. Even when we were dead in sins, God hath made us alive, or he has quickened us together so that we, Jews and Gentiles, are members of the same church, same body. But when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Because of his love, we're saved. You're saved. And hath raised us up together. And did what? Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his exceeding glory in his kindness towards you all and towards us in Christ Jesus. Manifestation of God's great love. We're saved because, not because of ourselves, but because of the love of God. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. Because you believe through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is God who has blessed you to have the mindset to give your life to Jesus Christ. Lest any man should boast. Well, I'm the cause of that. No. It's by the grace of God. It is he that has given us the mindset, the desire, and to follow through on that desire of obeying the Lord, of obeying the gospel. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Unto what? Good works, which Christ hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God has already have work for us to do, and a manner of life for us to live, even before we obey the gospel. Come with me to chapter 3. And Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me, regarding carrying the gospel to the Gentiles, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, watch this now, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of the doctrine of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now being revealed to his holy apostles, to the prophets, by the Holy Spirit, so that we can carry the gospel plainly and understandably, that the Gentiles also, not just Jews, that the Gentiles also should be fellow heirs of the what? Same body. That statement alone rules out a multitude of different churches. Same body. Same Church of Christ. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow inheritors of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the same gospel that was taught to the Jews. And I, Paul, was made a minister according to the free gift, and the pleasure and the grace of God. Nothing that I was such a great guy. It was because of God's love that I was made a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So what does that tell us? We don't have any bad bragging rights because we are saved. We thank God for blessing us to be saved. Wherefore, verse 7 again, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. All because of God's love, he wanted me. Unto me, who am what? Less than the least of all the saints. And this is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ Jesus. Paul, as you know, was ordained of God to carry the gospel to the Gentile nation, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. The gospel didn't just come up as an afterthought of God when we sin. God had it in his mind before Genesis 1 and 1. He had the followers in the Old Testament, the Jews. He had that planned out before Genesis chapter 1. He had the gospel also waiting to send to humanity at his appointed time before Genesis chapter 1. And that's in your Bible Ephesians chapter 1. That's in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. What is that? That tells us a lot of things, doesn't it? It tells us, number one, that God knew when he created us that we were going to sin. God knew that he was going to have mercy on us, and he had a plan for both the Jews and the Gentiles. And there came a time when there was not two plans, but one plan, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, a plan. The New Testament, the plan. Are you following this? Now watch this. And to make all men, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of a mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. God knew he was going to send his son to die for us and provide all of humanity to be together, one, in his church. He knew that even before he had all that design. It wasn't an afterthought. Verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This, what we share with you, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it was in the mind of God before Genesis 1 and 1. And God wants you to know that you are not an afterthought. This is not something that he came up with or thought up after he created humanity and humanity disobeyed him. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have what? We have boldness and we have access with confidence by faith in Christ Jesus. Do you, just this information, this bit of information. Do you see that God hasn't left it up to man or to humanity to decide how he wants to be worshipped? You want to start a church? You want to start a church? You want to start? God hasn't left that. He had all of that already designed before he created the world. Chapter 4. Let's go. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy, since I've shared with you how God has gone from the human perspective out of his way to save us and give us a relationship with him. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, urge you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. Is that in your Bible? Forbearing, learning how to get along with one another in love. We may not always agree with each other. We may have our differences in the Lord's church with each other from time to time, but always manifest the spirit of love among his children. And God paid a high price for us to be his adopted children. Let's not become obnoxious to God after all that he has given to us. Endeavoring, watch how he flows out of verse 2 into verse 3. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, learning how to get along together in the Lord's church, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You don't dodge your brother or sister in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to shake their hand. I'm getting out of here. There is one body, one Spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling. If we don't accept this, if we don't accept Christianity, there's nothing else that God is going to offer. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Not Baptist, Methodist, dancing, sanctified, Jehovah. No. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's simple. It seemed to me we understand one in all other areas except when it comes to religion. That's mighty strange, isn't it? Let's drop down a few verses and the lesson will be yours. Verse 10. Let's start with verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended, Jesus Christ, up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now watch this. And he gave some apostles, some prophets. We don't have them anymore. But at the time of this writing, we had them in the church. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, those we still have. Some pastors, elders, still have. And teachers, we still have. Why do we still have them? Verse 12 tells us, for the maturing or for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we do what? All come in the unity of the faith. Because he's already told us one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a complete or perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we from now on, or from henceforth, be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, men's cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to fool you, deceive you, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ Jesus. One Lord, one faith, one body. one church, and he has organized his own church. Let's do it again, and we'll close. And he gave some, verse 11, apostles. You know what they were? Handpicked preachers by Jesus Christ. Some prophets. We don't have those anymore. We don't have apostles anymore. They've all died. Some evangelists. Some pastors or elders. And some teachers. Those are the different works. Leaders in the Lord's church. It's very clear. For the what? For the maturing, for the completing, for the perfecting of the saints. Helping us to know the will of God and to apply it in our life so that we will live a life on planet Earth that is favorable to God and then go home and live with Him forever. For the maturing or for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Did you get that? You didn't miss it, did you? God has brought us in to the Church of Christ not to be lazy, not to sit down and do nothing. For the maturing, completing, verse 12, of the saints, for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of our God unto a complete, a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. He brings no one into his church to do nothing. Come in that are added to the body of Christ. Study. Learn how adopted children are to conduct themselves in the Church of Christ and live accordingly. And try to help others enjoy the same privilege that you are enjoying as a result of being added to the body of Christ. That's it, church. That's it. We are to be workers together. No matter who you are, because of whose we are. Verse 13 again, and I'm closing. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the what? Of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a complete, a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He has brought us in to work like the liver of the body, like the heart of the body, like the gallbladder of the body. All of these members in our body is given to us to work together for the benefit and the completing and the perfection of the physical body. He brings all of these people, and we are to work together in the body of Christ. Just like our body members are to work together in our body. If they get upset with one another and start fussing and fighting, that's a grave sickness. Do we get that? Church? It's been a long time since I taught the lesson on this particular chapter. But we can see how we can see how critical it is to teach it now and again. And now and again. So that we understand what God is expecting of us. Because He has saved us and brought us into the family. Not for confusion. Not for disfusion. But for working lovingly together. And that is well-pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your love. It's almost beyond human expectation and beyond human imagination, the love that you have for humanity and especially for your dear children. Bless us, Father, to be role models for each other and role models for the world. And may we not grow weary in well-doing, so that one day we will stand before you and hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name, amen. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Are you an asset to the Lord's church? Or are you a liability to the Lord's church? If you're an asset to the Lord's church, thank God for you. If you're a liability for the Lord's church, come this evening. Renew your covenant. Seek God's forgiveness. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Because it's already late. When God brought you in, he brought you in to be a worker. He brought you in to be a peacemaker. He brought you in to live a life that glorifies him. Now is the time. If that's the case, if that's your case, you come. If you're here and you're not a part of the family, you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that he can add you to his family, the Church of Christ, believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God and the one who died to purchase the Church of Christ. Repent of your sins. Acknowledge the fact that you've lived a sinful life and be willing to also acknowledge the oneness and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Acknowledging him as Lord and Savior and being buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. Clean slate. It's almost like starting life over again. Isn't that wonderful? The privilege is yours. May God bless you to make a God-honoring decision as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the breeze.